try to impress your will upon the other team. And that was a big part of the way we play, because all the teams that I got to be involved with, we played defense. And that defense, we were going to make you conform to what we wanted you to do. And we're going to talk a little bit about conforming tonight. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12. Most of you probably know that already. Very familiar verse to all of us. And I'm sure most of you could probably quote Romans 12:2 right off the bat. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. I know Romans was one of the favorite books of Preacher Jimmy to preach. And we had so much good preaching from Pastor John, from Romans also. It's a great book. And Romans chapter 12:2, I'm going to quote this verse several times tonight. And we're going to talk about a few things that we want to impress, that God wants to impress upon us. The verse, Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Some of the phrases that maybe we've heard over time, and I'm speaking in, because I'm an old person now. Some of the things that we've heard over time, it's the real thing. Anybody remember that one? What's that go with? Coca-Cola. Yep, it's the real thing. Just do it. That's a little newer. And, of course, that's the Nike. And it keeps going and going and going and going. Ever-ready batteries, right? The ever-ready buddy. Those kind of things stick in our brain sometimes. And that's what they intend to do. They want to put something in your brain so that you'll think about it. And you will buy it. And you will get it. And that's what it's all about. The right words have the ability to stick like glue in our brains. And a lot of people that design these commercials and different things like that know that, and they use it. In the Christian world, a phrase written by an Englishman by the name of J.B. Phillips, in his translation of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, has attained almost the same legendary status in the Christian world. "Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold." And we see that in the world today. It is trying to put the squeeze on us. It's trying to impress its will upon us to do what they do. And that comes from Satan. He is the prince and the power of the air. And he is trying to impress his will not only just on people who are unsaved, but obviously on people that are saved. And that squeeze, that mold that the world tries to put on us is something that we really have to fight. We have to struggle with a lot of times. But that phrase that came from J.B. Phillips, it's a beautiful word picture of the pressure that the world system puts on us to live in it. And it's difficult in this day and time to live in the world. It's very difficult. And that happened, of course, in Genesis chapter 13 with Lot. You know, he was the nephew of Abraham, and both men had flocks, and they were just growing and growing and growing, and they were overgrazing the land, and their owners decided they needed to separate. And when they did, Lot looked around, and he chose ready access enticements of the wicked city of Sodom. He saw it, and he went for it. He said, "Man, that place there, that's the place to be. That's the place to go." While Abraham went the opposite direction. And Abraham, he made the decision that he wanted to follow what God wanted him to do and follow God's kingdom. That decision with Lot led to a future of futility. It almost cost him his life. It cost him his family. And, you know, recent decisions that maybe we've made, sometimes cost us things. And we have to ponder those things. And we have to be conformed. You know, we've been talking about fasting and praying. And Dan has been really heavy-hearted for our church about, you know, fasting and praying and actually doing the will of God. And he's looking for disciples. But that's what God's looking for, disciples. Disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The values of the kingdom of God in this world today are greater than ever. It is such an evil place to live. You know, being conformed is good, and as long as that mold is a godly one. If it's not a godly mold, it's going to bring you down. T.T. Forsyth said this. He said, "Unless there is within us that which is above, we shall soon yield to that which is about us." And we tend to think about the things about us. We look to us. One of the popular phrases that you hear a lot of people say, "I need some me time. Me time. Me time." And me time is nice if you can get it. It really is. To just have it to yourself. But me time can take you into bad places sometimes. Me time gets the focus on us. And when we start making the focus about us, that's when the world starts to get its clamp on us. And that's why we have to be so careful. Let's start reading again, chapter 12, Romans, verse 1. And we're going to look at 1 and 2 and some of the context around verse 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God," catch this, "which is your reasonable service." Reasonable service. "And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And we're going to skip on down. I want you to look at verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor or hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." Watch this one. "Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." And that is so important. "Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written," and this is a Eula Presley verse that I heard all my life, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." The verses around chapter 12 really point back to verse 2. And we're going to take a look at that right here tonight. Be not conformed to this world. And it's a very popular verse, and it's regularly quoted by a lot of Christians. But I don't think sometimes we take the time to pause and actually apply it to our lives practically. And there's a lot of deep meaning in this verse, a whole lot, that sometimes we miss. There's some really incredible truth in the meaning about this that we need for our lives today. And so we're going to look at this just for a little bit. Be not conformed to this world and rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to make a statement here. The Holy Spirit that works in us, and we have to be careful with this. We can use the Holy Spirit in a way that can be contradictory to what God intends, who God is, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always works in tandem with the Word of God. There's not going to be a difference in the Word of God versus what the Holy Spirit does. If you're doing something that's outside of this world Word, you can guarantee it's not of God. And you can guarantee that it's not the Holy Spirit's leading. You have to be very careful how you use Holy Spirit's leading. If it gears you away from this Word, it's the wrong way. And it always works in tandem. The second thing is another careful thing we got to be careful about with the Spirit. Don't quell the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead. Don't quell the Spirit. But be careful how you, in your own mind, try to use the Spirit. So there's a great deal of information there. And when you look, you can read later 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It'll give you a little better meaning of this. And we're not going to turn over there right now. But we want to look at the power of this verse in our life. And I think it can deepen our faith. So let's look at it. A few of the things that I want to tie together here as we start out. The word conform refers to interchange of our nature and our habits. And we have to look at our inner nature, who we are, how we operate. A lot of people like to use this excuse. I've used it myself. It's just who I am. That's the way I am. That's not a good excuse. Yeah, God created us all different. But He expects us to be transformed by His Word. We don't get the right to conform ourselves and change God to meet our needs. And that happens a lot in this world today. It happens in churches. They want to conform to that comfort zone of how they want to believe to make it fit lifestyles. And that's not led by the Holy Spirit. So, interchange of habits. And everything you do, and here's a couple of words that you're going to hear me saying tonight. And this is a translation differing from what one I grew up with. The last generation will practice, this generation will practice what the last generation allowed. But this one I'm going to use is trash in, trash out. You take trash in, trash is coming out. That's all. That's a bottom line. If you're going to watch things, if you're going to look at things, you're going to let your mind be taken into things, and you think you can block it out and you can do it, it's not going to happen. Trash in, trash out. Let's look at a few of those things. And I'm preaching to myself because I know in the last several weeks, my wife and I have taken the time to really try to stay away from certain things, not only fasting and praying, but denying ourselves of certain things, habits that we used and did before. We take the TV, for example. A lot of people think, you know, it's okay, we can watch TV, things come on it, it's not going to bother us. You know, programs with cursing, sexual connotations. That's the big push. Everywhere you see in anything on TV, cursing, blasphemy, making sin normal. It's okay. You know, the end justifies the means. That's the message of the world. And movies, setting examples. And you know, a lot of people, and I've been guilty of this myself, especially when I was younger. I can watch that movie. It's got some language in it, but I block it out. It doesn't bother me. Trash in, trash out. When the pressure's on, the trash that came in will come back out. And, you know, in this day and time, it's even more. We can sit down and watch my favorite program, which most of you know is Andy Griffith. And it's fun to watch it, and I can quote almost every line of that program. I've watched it all my life. But you know what happens? They throw those stinking, stupid commercials in there that's got nothing but garbage and filth. Sexual connotations. Evil. Awful things. And it's hard to even sit down and watch a program anymore. It's got to that point. I think of my parents. If they saw what was going on, they'd be so shocked. Thinking about how bad it was in their day. I can remember Coach Morgan was talking the other day about Carl Johnson. I remember him being here for revivals. Talked about, you know, the end times. And he had his charts. And he preached about the end times. And he believed he was living right there at the edge. And he is. He was. You know, the time that we live in flies by God's calendar. And us now, as most of you are, that some of you are younger, but most of us older people look back on our life and we realize we look back at 18, 19 years old, at least I do, and I think, wow, this seemed like yesterday. And all of a sudden, here I am, an old man. And life flies by. It goes by fast. So what we've done in that span of time, the things that we've watched, the things that we've taken in are still in our brains. And we have to fight that. And we're going to look at what it takes to actually do that here in just a moment. We talk about the internet. So many things. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. And there's pop-ups that come in that all the time. Trash in, trash out. The amazing thing is we see kids. I have seen so many kids ages 5, 6, 7, 8 with cell phones with no restriction. What are they going to see? What are they going to do? They can't handle that. But our society is letting that happen. And that's been an ongoing thing with everything that's going on in our world today. Why is it getting worse? Because Satan is out there playing this game with all of us. He's throwing this stuff in there for us to get. He wants to put trash in our brains as Christians. He doesn't want us to have the right kind of relationship with Christ. That's why he throws it in there. How about music? Bad thing for me. Used to be. Certain music I could enjoy and I think it's okay. You listen to the words of it as you come around it and you realize, wow, I didn't realize that was really in there. But that stuff was going in our brains. And to allow ourselves to be used by Satan like that is going to take us down. That's all there is to it. There's all kinds of filth in music today. I couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, I don't really know, other than where things have popped up and you see things going on. Dan talked about some awards that happened here not long ago, and I think they were even doing devil worship in the middle of it on TV for everybody to see, is what I understood. Can you believe that's actually happening now in this country? In this country that started as a God-fearing nation. Trash in, trash out. Pressure to conform to the world. Sometimes we want to be accepted by people in the world. We allow ourselves to be conformed to what somebody else wants us to do. Not what God wants us to do, but what somebody else wants us to do. And I think there's a couple of tests here that we need to look at. And the first one is the Jesus test. Okay? And I remember a preacher speaking about this one time. It hit my brain when I was studying on this lesson. Can't really tell you who it was, but probably maybe more than one. But the Jesus test. If you're sitting and watching or listening to something or you're doing something, if Jesus was sitting beside you, would you still do it? If he was physically sitting beside you, know what? He is. He's there. He's right there. And sometimes we don't realize that. Can you imagine Christ who suffered, and we talked about that this past Sunday, who suffered and bled and died, was whipped and beaten for us. And we are willing to allow filth to come in our life when he took our sin for us. Sin is a serious thing, and we've all been there. And folks, I'm preaching it myself. Sin is serious, and it will drag us down. The other thing is the time test. And I'm going to throw this at you. I stole this from somebody, so I guess I did something bad here. Not really. Nobody slides into holiness but a lot of people slide out of holiness. And serving Christ is a costly thing. But look at the cost He paid for our sin and what He did for us. If you're waiting for God to show you how you need to serve or how you need to live, you'll be waiting a long time. The words are here. The plan is here. We are compelled to be a witness and a testimony. But trash in, trash out. We cannot even worship God in the right way until we deal with sin. Until we're going to get real with all this mess that we live in. And we're going to get real with what's going on. And real with what we take in. And get rid of that sin. We can't worship God. How can we worship Christ with sin in our life? It can't happen. And it talks about being transformed. That's a change of heart and it's a change of mind. It's a way of life every day. And we need to balance and think about how much time do we spend looking at worldly things versus the things that are of God. Let's say reading our Bible, praying, focusing on God. How much time do we spend doing that versus some of these other things that we've even mentioned? And this renewing comes from a constant, committed, dedicated focus. And it's a focus to prayer, it's a focus to reading God's Word, and it's a focus on study, of learning who Jesus really is. I want to ask you a question. This has to be done out of love, okay? If you don't love Christ, you're not going to do it. And that love has to be real. Think about maybe a person on this earth that you have loved the most in your whole life. That one person maybe on this earth that you loved the most your whole life. What was that like? Do you have that kind of love for Jesus? I mean, we're talking about real love here for Jesus, the one that died for us. Sometimes we say we love Jesus, but when we love somebody, what do? We sacrifice, don't we? We sacrifice for them, for their happiness. Do we sacrifice for Jesus? That's what we've got to ask ourselves. That's where we test our own love for Christ in our sacrifice. And this renewing is a constant thing. It never stops. We have to come back and renew constantly. That's what getting in the Word really means. To understand the depths of this in Romans 12:2, we talked about fasting and praying. Maybe there's some other sacrifices we need to make to help us understand the love of Christ and to understand where we need to be. But to understand Romans 12:2, we've got to look at some of the verses around it, and we're going to look at verse 1. It says, I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore. Here's a big word, therefore. And I'm going to say this. When you see that word therefore in the Bible, you might want to ask, what is it there for? What's the reason? Okay? We're going to look at that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, God showed us such mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this is not something for us that Paul is writing about, that he's saying, man, this is a big sacrifice for us to do this. This is a reasonable, everyday thing we should be doing if we truly love Christ. And we challenge ourselves with that love to realize, do we truly love Christ? Truly love Christ. I have failed in my life in this area so much. And God has convicted me time and time again. And I've wandered away and have to come back and get my focus straight and realize what He did for me, what He sacrificed for me. Do we truly love Christ? This is so important. So that therefore right there is making the point of the normalcy of what this means to live for Christ every day. That should be just our everyday life because of that love. We get in that way. And Paul tells us to offer to give ourselves up. He tells us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, when we think of a sacrifice, we usually think of something dead, right? Something's died, sacrificed. But we are actually giving up something we should make dead, and that's our sinful life. We should make that dead. That's what it's talking about here. A living sacrifice. God is holy. He cannot look on sin. And all of this boils back to repentance. Truly repenting. Repenting is something we do when we're saved. We realize we're sinners. And we realize that Christ died for us. And that's when we really realize the love He had for us. We ask ourselves, would we actually die for the person that has treated us the worst in our lifetime on this earth? Would we die for them? Would we do that? That's a tough one. I got to say, it's tough for me to even think about doing it, because I can think about some people that I'm like, wow, that would be tough. You know, people that's hurt us, people that's done things. And I could sit here and tell you some stories about things that's kind of funny, but we don't really have time to share that. But, you know, we spit on Christ. We sin. We fall into sin and we do it. And it just absolutely hurts Him every time He sees us sin. Repenting is not just that one-time thing at salvation. It's a continuing process. We have to continually repent of our sins. God can't look on sin. He looks through Christ and what He did on that cross. But that means we need to get sin out of our lives before we even approach the throne of grace, because God doesn't look on sin. Repentance, it's a continuing thing. You know, we do it. It's something we have to do over and over again. And in Romans 12:1, it's talking about making a commitment. You're making a commitment with God. And in Romans 12:2, the meaning is about living it out every day. You know, there was an old saying we used to hear, you are what you eat. Did you ever hear that one years ago? You know, you take in food, you get your vitamins, your health comes from what you eat, the vitamins you have, how healthy you can be by what you eat. You eat trash, you're not going to be healthy. You eat good foods, you're going to be healthy. Trash in, trash out. And it's like, you may not like this rendition, but you know the old cow? He takes in his food and he brings it back up and he chews on it some more. And he takes it down and he chews on it some more. And that's how we have to do with the Word of God. We've got to chew on it over and over. We can get lost in really not focusing. We can sit and read verses. We can sit here and read these verses and not get one single thing out of it. It's got to be something that we get focused on. And getting that sin out of our lives gets our mind straight. Because if we have that sin in our brain, it's hard to get to the point where you can actually learn anything in your study. So many things depend on getting sin out of our lives. There's three things: being transformed by the renewing of your mind, be not conformed to this world, test and approve God's will. And we'll give you that one more time. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, be not conformed to this world, and test and approve God's will. You know, the world is seeking to mold us. And one of the things that we need to look at, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, it talks about the armor of God. Now, we can read a lot about that, but I'm just going to throw one verse at you, verse 14, the belt of truth. We have to get truthful. We have to be truthful with ourselves. We like to lie to ourselves. We like to tell ourselves everything's okay. We like to tell ourselves that, it'll be all right. It's not a big deal. I can still do this. It's okay. Not a big deal. We talked about watching, seeing things we do. Are we going to pass it off? Get it out of our way. But the belt of truth is being real with ourselves, being truthful to ourselves. We have to realize the truth is sin will hold you back. You will not grow with sin in your life. Repenting is a constant thing. And, you know, there are many Christians in certain sects, and I mean at S-E-C-T-S, sects, that put themselves in a place where they completely put themselves away from the world. We have to live in the world. It's the way it is. We live here. But we don't conform to it. And they try to stay away from all the dirty things that's in the world. And certainly we want to do that the best we can. But the only way to live in that world is really conform ourselves and commit ourselves to this Word and let the Holy Spirit lead us in truth. You know, that's what Paul is trying to communicate to us right here in these verses. We talk about these other verses and it tells us a lot of things in there that we need to be doing. But it still boils back to repentance and dealing with sin, because we all do it. And once you start repenting for sin and you realize it, it pops up. A lot of times you can get conformed into the world and you start doing little things and you don't even think about it being a sin. But how do we approach the throne of grace if that's really there? Christ is looking at it. He knows for real what's in our heart. That's where we have to really spend time. And we go back to that Jesus test and that time test. How much time do we really focus on this? So to kind of wrap this up, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 talks about God is not slack concerning these things. And it says, as we get into verse 10, He's going to come as a thief in the night. It would be a sad thing for us, and I have been in tears at times the last few weeks, seeing just the fasting and the prayer and not spending time doing some things that I used to do. It's opened my mind up to realize how far away I was. And sometimes we don't realize that. And the thing about it that hit me was, what if Christ came back right now? You know, what kind of shape am I with God and my relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it real? Have I dealt with sin I needed to deal with? You know, we talk about revival. We've seen places, and I'm not going to condemn anybody. If the revival's going on, that's awesome. But revival starts right here in our heart, personally, one-on-one with Christ. That's where revival is, change in individual hearts. And, you know, in this time we live in, it's so easy to get caught up. And we have to test and approve what is God's will. And we cannot do that until we get that sin out, and then we start. Once we get the sin out, when we read the Word, we can take in that good food, we can chew on it, and we can understand what the Holy Spirit can do in leading us and how we need to live. Test and approve. Applying this to your life, it's a time test. The me time has to go. The I need and the I want have to go, and we have to give up. If you live out these verses and you invest the time in your relationship with God, you will find that you will be renewed. He will renew us. And some of us have even been, and I've been guilty of this, thinking, okay, I'm fine, I'm renewed. And then I so easily can be set by sin, certain sins. All of us can be, especially in this world we live in. Our minds have to be constantly renewed. And God has something incredible for us as Christians in this day and time. You know, there's a reward for those of us, and I'm talking back to that time where I'm thinking about how looking for His coming. There's a reward for that. Are we truly looking forward to His coming? That's not to say that we don't want to, you know, be a witness to others, and we want to use this time that we have. I'm sure all of us have family members. I do. Lots of family members that need Christ. We have people that we know that need Christ. And that verse 10 that we talked about in Peter, as a thief in the night, where are we going to be if it happened right now? And we went up. Where would we be? So I challenge you, and I'm not speaking as much like a coach tonight. I haven't even got wound up a little bit. But I do challenge you, and I challenge myself about renewing and getting our life right. And to really realize, do we truly love Christ in the way we need to? Do we truly have the greatest love that we could have for Christ, for what He did for us? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the time that You give us. God, we are such weak, sinful creatures, and we do ask for Your forgiveness to approach Your throne. We're grateful that You would love us so much that You would bleed and die. You are the Creator. You see us. And I know you see such sad things over and over from people who say they are Christians and people who are Christians, and they still walk away and they still sin, and it hurts You for what You did for us. God, may we take a look at our own lives. May we decide to repent, and may we decide that we want to be renewed constantly. And God, we're grateful for all that You do for us. Lord, I'm grateful for all the people that are here. And I pray that we can take a stand for You and we can be real for You. And we do thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you all.